تفضل. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. As Abuna said, we are going to focus about part of chapter 11. But I would like to give you just a general view about chapter 11. And then I'm going to concentrate about one part of it from verse 16 to verse 19. As you can see, chapter 11 in the Gospel according to St. Matthew, we had 30 verses. We can divide it to 5 minor topics. The first part, from verse 1 to 6, it is about question from St. John the Baptist while he was in jail to our Lord Jesus Christ. Are you the one, the Messiah, the Savior, or we wait for another one? And the early church father emphasized that this question is not mean that St. John the Baptist doubted the Lord or his divinity or he is the Messiah or the one, but because he knew that his time is too short and he is going to leave this world, offer his life witness for the Lord, who is already in jail, and he knew that they are going to persecute, to discriminate him, persecute him, and then kill him. So he'd like to transfer his disciples to be the disciples of the Lord. St. Cyril the Great said that St. John the Baptist witnessed for the Lord even while he's still in his mother womb. You remember this when he bowed down, when in fact this is the gospel of yesterday. Saint Mary visited Saint Elizabeth, and when Saint Mary gave a salute or she say hi to Saint Elizabeth, Saint Elizabeth was very surprised and said, how this granted to me that the mother of my God will visit me while you give me the greeting? My child leap down in front of you. So this is why you say it's a wonderful meeting between the baby Jesus and the baby John the Baptist, while both of them they were in their mother womb. And he leaped down, bowed down, worshiped the Lord. And this is the first indication that he knew even while he was in his mother womb. After that, when he baptized our Lord Jesus Christ, St. John said, the Spirit told me, the one that you see the dove come on him, this is the Lamb of God who take away the sin of the world. Then after that, St. John the Baptist also gave a lot of testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ. When they told him, are you the one? He said, no, I am not the one. Even I am not worthy to untie his sandal. And he said that the one who come after me should be before me. Before me in a sense that he is God incarnate. He is before me, although we know that the John, Saint John the Baptist, was born before the Lord 6 months. So from the physical point of view or humanity point of view, he is much older than the Lord for 6 months. But he said, the one who come after me is the one who is before me. He talked about his divinity and many other testimonies. So this is the first part. It's not our subject today. The second part, after the Lord respond to this question, this is still the first part. The Lord respond to this question. He said, well, go and tell John what you see. A lot of miracles happen, that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleared, and the deaf hear, and the dead are risen up. So the Lord showed them some of his miracles, not to prove to John that he is the one. He would like to prove to his disciples who is he. The Lord knew very well why Saint John asked this question. So he knew that he asked this question because he would like to his disciple, the disciple of Saint John, to know more about Jesus. So the Lord revealed himself to them. When he said to them, blessed is he who is not offended because of me, he said, for them, after you see all these miracles, I'm sure that you are going to accept me. Then the second part, which is very important, from verse 7 to verse 15, the testimony of our Lord Jesus Christ about Saint John the Baptist. If Saint John the Baptist doubted the Lord, then the Lord will never testimony about him or testify about him in this manner. The Lord speak very highly about Saint John. It seems that he did not speak about someone who is doubt. The Lord said, he is assuredly, I say to you, among those born of woman, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. This is the highest testimony ever the Lord said about any person. He is the highest level. He is the most important person had been born of woman. So this is also not our subject today. But this is, it give you a hint and background about the next part, which is our subject today. I'm going to start with, and then Bishu will continue, and then Abuna will continue in his own subject, and the conclusion will be very clear. The second part of this chapter, from verse 16 to verse 19, and then the fourth part will be, oh, to the city of Galilee, from verse 20 to verse 24, and then the rest of the chapter, how we find rest in our Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what Abuna Murus going to emphasize about it, in verse 25 to the last part of the chapter, verse 30. The part we are going to have now, chapter 11, of the Gospel of St. Matthew, verse 16 to verse 19. But to what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their companions and saying, we played the flute for you and you don't dance. We mourned to you and you don't lament. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a wine bibber, a wine bibber, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, but wisdom is justified by her children. This part, it seemed very strange. That is said here, John the Baptist mean task is to prepare the way in front of the Lord. And as I said now, the Lord testified about John the Baptist that he is the greatest who born among women. And also I would like to add, although we know that John the Baptist is the one who prepared the way in front of the Lord, but also we have to know the fact that the Lord himself is the one who prepared John the Baptist to be ready to prepare the way in front of him. If you go back to his story, after Elizabeth gave birth to John the Baptist, as I said, there is 6 months difference. And what's happened is, Herod decided to kill the baby Jesus after he knew that he will be the king of Israel. And assuming he will be earthly king, said, I'm going to kill him lest he will take my kingdom from me and from my children. So he tried to kill, as he knew from the Magi, that the child was born around this time. He said, kill all the children of Bethlehem and all the district around it from the age 2 years and less or under. And they killed 144,000 children or kids. Among them, or he think that he is going to kill among them, John the Baptist and the baby Jesus, of course. And you know about the story of John the Baptist. The Lord saved him, and he took him by the angel, and he lived in the wilderness. And this is to explain why John the Baptist stay in the wilderness, as the Bible said, until his appearance to the people of Israel. He is the son of the priest, and very important priest. And they live in a very good standard living, very high. But suddenly, the Lord saved him, because if some people can hide your children at that time, but the family of Zacharias and Elizabeth cannot. It's one known child. And you know the story, and the people was very happy that the woman who cannot give birth to any child, and now she have a child, and he is the son of a very important priest, so it went known in the community. So they went direct to the house of Zacharias, give us your child. I said, well, you know, I took him from the altar, I cannot give it to you. Let me go back to the altar, this is in the tradition book, and go along with the Bible. Let me go along to the altar, I give it back to the Lord, and you can take him from there. It is like a gift, and it is like a deposit to me, I cannot. They said, well, he's a very old man, let us go along with this story. We took him from the altar, and it does not make any difference. He went to the altar, said, Lord, you told me that this child going to prepare the way in front of the room. So whatever you want, this is John, it is for you back. And the Lord sent an angel, took John the Baptist from his hand and flew to the wilderness. And this is why they said he was in the wilderness until his appearance to Israel. And you know, he used to eat honey, and his clothes was from the camel hair. This is very strange to someone, a son of the priest and well-known person, to live this life. This is how the Lord prepared him to make him ready, stand fast, strong person, that he be able to prepare the way in front of the Lord. So who prepared the way in front of whom? The Lord prepared him, John the Baptist, and John the Baptist prepared the way in front of the Lord. As also we say about the baptism, although St. John the Baptist baptized our Lord Jesus Christ, but our Lord Jesus Christ was not baptized by the baptism of St. John the Baptist. You understand what I'm saying? Because the baptism of St. John the Baptist for repentance and remission of sins, and our Lord have no sin. So it was the baptism of John the Baptist that to prepare the way in front of the Lord until the Lord himself. On the day of baptism, and 3 weeks from now we are going to celebrate the Epiphany, our Lord Jesus Christ established the Christian baptism at that particular day, because it was not only for water. You remember when he said, I baptize you with water, but the one who come after me will baptize you with water and the Spirit. On this particular day, the Lord established the Christian baptism by water and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came upon our Lord Jesus Christ, and the voice from heaven say, this is my beloved Son whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. So, as well as St. John the Baptist prepared the way in front of the Lord ought to prepare him to prepare the way. As well as St. John the Baptist gave testimony about our Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ gave testimony about the Lord. For the children of God, either the Israeli or the Gentiles, or for all of us, we should, if we are wise enough, and be sure we are going to speak about God, the wisdom, he is the wisdom, the source of all wisdom. If we are wise enough, if we are really the children of God, we should accept both of them. We accept John the Baptist, the one who prepared the word, the way in front of the Lord, and not only to stand in this level, but we have to go along with the Lord all the way. And not because we became a Christian, we rejected John the Baptist, and not because we at certain point believe in John the Baptist that will stop in this level. And this is why the St. John the Baptist would like to end his message, his mission, by refer his disciple to be the disciple of the Lord. All of us were the disciples of John the Baptist before we knew the Lord. He is the one who prepared the way. And this is why he said, he must increase and I must decrease. What is the meaning of this? If we know John the Baptist more in certain point, or these people at that particular time, the message is, I must decrease and he must increase. And this is still our message. Some of us, Sunday school teachers, youth leaders, and some of us are going to be. Our message is not to connect the people and let them attach to us as the priests or leaders of the church. Our message is to let the people attach and unite it with the Lord himself. And in each time we have to repeat what St. John the Baptist said, I must decrease and he must increase. The moment I feel the people attached to me as a servant of God more than the Lord himself, I should deny myself and remember what John the Baptist did. So, after all this, some people followed the Lord, and some people stick with John the Baptist. And as I said, the first part, verse 1 to 6, John the Baptist warned those who attach you to him to be attached to the Lord, because he is our goal. But unfortunately, many people neither follow John the Baptist, neither follow the Lord. This is part, the middle of the chapter, from verse 16 to 19. This is our subject today, my subject. He said, well, here, I'm astonished. Those who blamed John the Baptist must go to be belong to the Lord. I can understand the transition. I can understand if still some people still belong to John the Baptist. But to find some people neither belong to John the Baptist and not belong to the Lord, and are not willing to be start with John the Baptist and then move to the Lord, this is something I cannot accept. Something foolish, something bad, something wrong, This is why the Lord said, but to what I shall liken this generation? He spoke about those who rejected the Lord and rejected John the Baptist. To what shall I liken this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to their companions and saying, we play the flute for you and you don't dance, we murder you and you don't lament. What is the story here? This passage is a reference to an ancient game played among Jewish children at that time. You know, when we go like a retreat like that, or when we have some activities together, we always let us have some games. Let us play Salah, Fakrin Salah. Or let us play Heading and Sharif. A lot of games. Let us do some games. To the children of Israel, they have like a game. What is the nature of this game? They divided themselves, like we are 25 now, 20 or 30, we divided themselves into two groups. 15 and 15. This is two groups. And one group start to make some music. Either you make some joyful tune or some sad tune. And then the other group, based on the type of music, will respond. If the joyful tune, like Oboro, we say in the church, like Oboro, and sometimes you see some, remember one person told me a story. He was a teacher in the pharmacy faculty in Cairo University. Now he immigrant to Australia. And in the pharmacy school over there, there was a piano, and he's a Christian, and many other Muslims around him. And he started to play the hymns of Oro, the joyful one. And the people, even the Muslims, start to move like they're going to dance, you know, because they like the joyful tune. And imagine if you say the same hymns in the Holy Week, in the same word, of Oro, O King of Peace, if you said with the sadness tune, the people will be mourning. If we say the Lahn of Golgotha, no one will laugh and will dance. But you see, this is where we put Jesus in the tomb and we say the most beautiful hymns during the Holy Week. If we say another hymns, like joyful hymns, the people start to move. So this is the game. One group will start to say some music, whether joyful or sad, and the other respond. So according to the rule of the game, what you expect from the other group, either they are going to respond joyfully to the joyful tune, or they are going to mourn to the sadness tune. But you don't expect the third group of this game, either this one or that one. So imagine if you have this game, and we can do it today in the evening. You may say, like, this is the application of the lesson today. You may say, listen, some either classic music or some Coptic music, and then divide it yourself into two groups, and then see how the people respond fast. Even just to start the beginning of the hymn or the beginning of the song, and see how the people respond. But imagine if you do so, and then certain group never respond to neither one of them, then you are not in the game. Then you don't understand the game. Then you are not part of this entire group. This is the idea. This passage is a reference to an ancient game played among Jewish children, in which the useful companions divided into two groups. Those who play musical instrument or saying some song, and the other those were responding appropriately by dancing or mourning, by to respond joyfully or to live in the sadness too. But in the case of John the Baptist and Jesus, many people, especially the Jewish leader, refused to respond to either one. They accuse John of being too ascetic, and they accuse Jesus of being too liberal and friend of the sinners. They said about John the Baptist, well, we don't know. He's very strict. He said, oh, the son of the snakes, how can you escape from the wrath of God? Don't think that you are the children of Abraham. For God, he can raise from this stone children of Abraham. Other time he said, unless you repent, all you will be perished. And then they see him with this uniform, the hair of the camel, and he ate like a honey, wild honey. Though they said he's very ascetic, very like a very strong monastic. He lived like the monastic life. While they looked to our Lord Jesus Christ, and they said, well, he's too liberal. Too liberal that he allow himself to eat with the sinners and tax collectors. And you know that the Lord stay and eat with the sinner and tax collector not because he would like to join them in what they do, but he joined them to change their life. Sinners who repent, not sinners who continue in their sins, and that the Lord will share their sins, God forbid it will never happen. If someone said, oh, the church open for everyone, and Jesus Christ said, I came not to call righteousness, but I came to call the sinners. Not to call the sinners that we take it from this and we say, well, we are going to live sinful life with the sinners. Jesus Christ himself said, I came for the sinners. I came for the sinners to repent, not to condone, not to agree, not to go along with what they do. As you can see in the Gospel of St. Matthew chapter 9, he changed Matthew himself from chief of tax collector to be one of his disciples. He changed Zacchaeus in chapter 19 from tax collector to be a good person. So this is the goal. But they look to the Lord because they don't want to accept him. As the main goal of the Gospel of St. Matthew, to prove that Jesus Christ is the true Messiah who come to establish his spiritual kingdom, but they feel that he is not going to establish an earthly kingdom and save them from the Romans, they start to be against him. So neither of the Jewish leaders and some of the congregation or this generation accepted the Lord. They don't accept John the Baptist. He said, oh, he's too old-fashioned. He is too strict. He lived like a monk. He's very strict. We can't accept that. And then come to the Lord, go and eat and drink with the sinners and tax collectors, and the main goal to call them to repent and to be his disciple and be his followers and to live the spiritual life. I said, oh, this is too liberal. Even he eat with the tax collectors and with the sinners. Other time he's too liberal. Look to John chapter 4. Imagine the person you said he is the Messiah. He talked to a Samaritan woman. She is a Samaritan and she is a woman. For us as the Jew leader, we don't even dare to talk to a woman, especially if she is from the Samaritan. So they look at him as too liberal. And you know why the Lord went all the way, 6 hours walking in the sun, in the mountain and the hill, to meet with this woman, and he changed her. It's not the matter that he go and share with her her old life. He changed her. In fact, he changed her from a sinful Samaritan woman to be the first one who go and spread the good news to the people of Samaria. And she said, come and see. A man told me all what I have done. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. And they came, they listened to him, they invited him to come to his their town, and they, a lot of people believe in him because of the Samaritan woman and because of the Lord himself when he visited them. So the situation here, as I said, children who say they will not play funeral because it is too sad, and will not play wedding because it is too happy, simply don't want to play. And imagine if we make the application today in the evening and we say this is a game. One group will say the hymns, the funeral hymns or the wedding hymns, and then we need the response of the other group. We expect if the wedding hymns, they are going to dance, they are very happy. If the funeral hymns, they are going to be sad and mourn. Imagine some of us or some of this group in the brothers, they refuse, both of them. What is the reaction of the people who play the instruments? They said, listen, if you are not going to follow the rules of this game, then you are out of this group. You can't. احنا ما عملناش إلا two kind of music. Either wedding, march wedding, or funeral wedding, funeral music. So what is your response? So the natural result, or what you are going to have to conclusion, you know what, now we know, if you don't respond to either one of them, you don't play with us. You don't want to be belong to this group. What I shall liken this generation. Those who rejected John the Baptist for his skeptical life and rejected our Lord Jesus Christ because he was joyful, did not want to accept what God was doing. Because John the Baptist is not like a separate unit from the Lord. We say in the beginning, it's the one who come to prepare the way in front of the Lord. And yes, we can accept that in certain point you be belong to John the Baptist until you know the message and then you follow the Lord. But no, neither one of them, it is not two different directions. It is one direction or one lead to the other. But if you rejected both of way, the wedding and the funeral, this music or that music, then you are not belong to this group. You don't want to follow the Lord. We must be careful not to deny God's hand in event around us simply because he works in unexpected way. And here, as Abuna said in introduction, some people like to follow the Lord, some people don't want to follow the Lord. Yesterday, as Abuna said, wonderful sermon yesterday to respond to the program of Barbara Walter about heaven. Yesterday also, it was another program in the Fox channel called Can You Live Without God? Can you live without God? And of course the same idea, I don't know if you see it, the same idea, she brings some people from left, from right, from Muslim, Christian, she has three, and then she go more than that. One rabbi, one Muslim scholar from Yale University, and one Catholic scholars, he's not a priest, and everyone give his view. Can we live without God? And some people respond differently. And of course, we don't, as Abuna said yesterday, we don't gain or collect our knowledge about God or heaven from TV broadcast or any program. We know where we can find God. So we must be very careful not to deny God's hand in event around us simply because he works in an accept unexpected way. Because sometimes you have a plan in our mind. We have a plan in our mind. We said, well, God must work in us in this way. Then if he did not follow my instruction, the way I understand God, then either I'm not going to accept him or his way, or I'm going to deny his existence. And this is unfortunately what we face nowadays. And this is unfortunate what happened in this generation. And history repeats itself. We have a message very clear that John the Baptist is the one who prepared the way in front of the Lord. And the Lord himself is the true Messiah. And some people listen to John and then follow the Lord. And some people never listen to neither one of them. And this is why the Lord said, how can I liken this generation? Neither this nor that. And this still happened in our church and still happened in many other churches. Some of the youth, some of the adults, even some of the children. We open our heart and our mind, either the Pope, the Holy Synods, the bishops, the priests, the deacon, and the church leader. The church is the kingdom of God on earth. We are here temporarily to prepare ourselves, and the church prepare us to go to live with the Lord forever in the eternal life. When we say the church is the kingdom of God here on earth, that the church prepare us and make us be ready for eternal life. In fact, we can practice eternity while we still live on earth. You remember in the book of Ashbeah, and you are going to pray it today and tomorrow, say, whenever we stand in your holy sanctuary, we feel as we stand in heaven. So this is heaven. But of course we'd like to make the people pleased and happy. So many times we have group discussion. I said, what do you think, do we as the church leader satisfy your need spiritually and emotionally and any other need? Do you have any suggestion? Do you have any something to add? And we are very open, and many times we have these discussions, and all of you remember that. So we are very happy as a church leader. Even the Pope himself, when we have the clergy meeting, said, well, what do you recommend? What do you think? And then we come back and forth. Now we have also seminars for the bishops and for the metropolitan. And they discuss something and they add and abstract or so and so. This is a dynamic church. But sometimes we are very respond positively. And we learn as a church leader from those who participate, even if they criticize us or criticize the church, but they have positive attitude, this is what we wish, this is what we want, and then you hear from the positive, the negative, and then interact, and then we have the best solution. This is what we can do this year, this is what we can do this period, this is what we can change our program, and so on. But imagine after you try to do all that, you find some group are not respond or they always complain. You became very strict. They said, no, we are not going to accept like refuse St. John the Baptist. Try to be a little bit liberal and to accommodate everyone's opinion, not to break God's commandments or the church tradition, but to try to listen and to be more flexible. Then said, oh, you are became very liberal and very flexible. مش عجبهم لكده ولا كده. They always complain. So this is the message of chapter 11, verse 16 to 19. Try to understand the message and follow. But not to come to this conclusion, to reject both ways, and you don't participate. This is what the Lord like in this generation. مش عجبهم حال. They don't like it either. They don't want to be part of this group. And we have to accommodate everyone. But not to the extent that to break the church tradition or the church dogma and teaching. I remember a story about complaining. He said this is a monastic life. In one particular monastery, And they said, well, this particular ministry is very strict, and they allow only to any individual to speak two words in every 10 years. Just a story. And someone went to the monastery and said to the abbot, I would like to join your monastery. I said, you know what, our monastery is very strict. So please, Yani, you can go to other monastery, but for us it's very strict. We have a very strict rule. And what kind of rule, Abuna, you have? You know what? We give you room, food, drink, give you the schedule, and after the first 10 years, you come and meet me, and you have two words to say. And then we respond to your two words, and then another 10 years, you have all allowed to another two words. Can you accept? Oh yeah, by all means. I came here to follow the rules. It's okay. This is your room, this is the food, this is the drink, this is where you found so and so. And after 10 years, he came and said, well, father, is bad food. Bad food. Stick with the rule too. I said, okay, we'll take care of this. Go to your room or go to your... Another 10 years, my father, you know what? Bad drink. It's okay, we'll take care of this and go to your room. Another 10 years, father, you know what, I quit. And the father or the abbot looked at him and said, you know, I know, since you came, you always complain. Since you came, you always complain. Of course, this is like far story. But let's say, well, until what time we are going to be, not to stop complaining, you have the full right to complain. But if we always complain, and neither to appreciate it the skeptical way, the strict way, nor to accept the flexibility when we are flexible and try to do whatever is good and to be acceptable from the group. But to be always complain, not to appreciate it the strict way, neither the compromise way, but always complain no matter. And sometimes with some people, no matter what you do, they will never be satisfied. We have like a saying in Egypt, even if you light your 10 fingers. Did you hear this before? لو ولعت صوابعك العشرة يعني ساعات كده. We have some parents always complain about their children. And when we talk to the children, it's not a matter only of just a group with the church. And we talk to the children, either they are young kids or youth or young adult or teenager. Not for you. And then we said, well, your parents complain that you always make noise, you don't study hard, and. And then the kids will be very frustrated and said, you know, Abuna, we don't know how we can satisfy our parents. We did everything, but they always complain. The same complaint we heard it from the kids to their parents. I said, you know, my parents are very old-fashioned. My parents are Saidis from Upper Egypt. My parents never understand me. And you remember when we are in the Midwest Convention, many times, and we enjoyed it really, when you play some skit or play and make funny of the parents and the special. It is reflect to something. It's sure that the new generation, they don't accept and so on. Why we have this struggle? Why, how I can liken this generation? As I said, they never dance when we have a music, wedding music, and they never mourn when we have the funeral. But what can we do, Yan? The game بيقول, the Jewish game بيلعبوه, the game بيقول إن هو either this music or that one. But هنعمل إيه تاني? What can we do? So, this is the message of today. What we have to do? To have what we call the positive attitude. What is the meaning of positive attitude? Positive attitude that you look to any situation. The Coptic Orthodox Church in North America, or in Cleveland, or in Ohio, or Mikhail families or Muawad family or any other of our family. This is like a unit. And then you say, well, in each group, we'll see some positive, some negative. So what can we do not to be in the situation of rejected God's plan, either way, either John or Jesus? To look positively, first about the positive thing, and we appreciate it. And then to look about the negative aspect, and I'm sure we'll find some. And then we see with a positive attitude, how we can change it. There is something you can change completely, something you have to accept it as is, and you can't change it. And other thing, it may need some kind of compromise from the two groups. And this is how it can work it out. Conflict between husband and wife, conflict between parents and children, conflict between generation and other generation, conflict between the church leader and the congregation, conflict between the hierarchical, high level with the lower level, and conflict between countries, conflict between nations and one another, and sometimes conflict between the person and himself or herself. You remember when Jesus said, any city divided against itself cannot stand? Any person stand against himself cannot stand. Sometimes you feel conflict inside your own self, whether you're he or she, right? What you have to do to live in conflict situation, to be like torn apart? No. You have to handle. I am one person. I love to be success in my career, in my academic, and this is had nothing to do to contradict my spiritual life. I can have both. In fact, the person who is very successful in his spiritual life can be successful in his academic and his. There is no conflict at all. I can be a good term with my parents, with my church leader, with myself, with my friends, the American as well as the Egyptian. I will go along with the good principle and disciplines and morals. I am going to avoid the negative aspect. If I can change my friend to do the right thing, I will. If not, I am not going to let him change me to go to the wrong direction. And so on. So it's a wonderful message. And then it concludes, and I'm going to conclude what I have said. Imagine if the people rejected both ways, John the Baptist and Jesus Christ, then they are not wise enough to understand God's plan in their life. It is not two different direction, one lead to the other, but you cannot be outside the circle and then you said, I am a good person, or I am. And this is one of the people who said yesterday in this program, you cannot be happy. You cannot even exist in a sense of comfort inside without God. You can't. And this is what the conclusion. So, to be wise enough to accept God's message, to interact with the music, whether it's joyful or sadness, this is mean that you are in the right track. To reject both of them, you are not wise enough, or I am not wise enough. And the opposite of wise, foolish. The opposite of wisdom is foolishness. There is nothing in between. And this is why I would like to conclude something about what is the meaning of to be wise, or what is the meaning of to be, what is the difference between foolishness and wisdom. And Bishoy will go along in his subject for wisdom. Foolishness is the opposite of wisdom in the Bible. And of course, the book of Proverbs contrast wise person with a fool person. Many verses. Fools are angry, arrogant, and self-centered. And this is, you can read in the book of Proverbs, chapter 14, verse 17, and verse 29, and chapter 29, verse 11. Can someone read for us? Chapter 14, verse 19. Do you have Old Testament? Okay. But at least I will give you the verses. So, fools are angry, arrogant, and self-centered. why is to be opposite of this? And I said, Solomon the king make the contrast always in the book of Proverbs. They think a lot of themselves, and rarely taking advice from anyone. This is in the same book, chapter 12, verse 15, and chapter 28, verse 26. They even reject guidance of their parents. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 5. They also find it impossible to control their emotions and their actions. Chapter 12, verse 23. And for the first time yesterday evening, when I prepared myself, I understood what the Lord meant when he said in the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, verse 22, you remember when the Lord said, warns that calling someone a fool, said, if anyone calls someone a fool, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. In danger, he make himself in danger of the fire of hell. And sometimes we call some people a very bad name. And if you call someone, you are a fool, it means that you are angry, you are arrogant, you are self-controlled, you are always fight, you think of yourself, you don't accept any advice from anyone, even from your own parents. You are impossible to control your emotion and your action. This is the describe of the Bible about what is the meaning of you are fool. So if I curse someone and told him you are fool because so and so, then I put myself in danger of fire of hell. Not to go to eternal life, but to go to eternal hell. For the Christian, the best solution not to be a fool or not to be foolish is to turn to Christ, the wisdom, the source of all wisdom. He is the wisdom itself. And he is the only one who can turn me to be a fool, to be a wise, to be belong to him, to respond correctly to the wedding tune or to the funeral tune. But to be neither of this, I am out of the track. To turn back to the Lord, as St. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, he described the Lord. He said, all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Of course, the Bible roots wisdom in God. After all, only God, the creator of the universe, knew how the world works in all its different ways. He is the wisdom, and this is a new subject. Glory be to God forever and ever. Amen. Any question or remark? No question? It's clear? Or confused? Are you going to make the game today? The Jewish game, divide yourself to two groups, and some will say wedding musical tune, and some will say funeral, and then you see the respond, not to dancing, but you may say that, a little bit.
So what's the right answer, Abuna? To be more strict or to have a more liberal or open-minded attitude?
So the right answer.
They didn't answer this, or they didn't answer that. So what's the right answer?
The right answer to respond exactly according to the tune. Like when I am in the church during the Holy Week, for example, I live in the atmosphere, in the situation. When I'm in the like a wedding, I have to go and I'm happy. Imagine if it happened the opposite. It's not the matter of neither one of them. No, I have to respond exactly according to the occasion. Like the dress, when you have your dress or uniform according to the occasion. Someone come to the church, have certain way to address him, to dress himself. Go to the picnic or go to the beach or go, have certain way. So tomorrow, the reason I'm not going to stay, and this is I regret it, because I have a funeral in Toledo. Abuna already went to be with the family in the weekend, and I'm going to lead the funeral prayer. So tomorrow is the funeral. Someone passed away, the mother of Dr. Sabri Gawhara, and we have to share. We have to take care of this. It's very important. So imagine if the people come to the funeral and dress with long dress, sleeves less, and as if they go to the wedding, you know. And the people would be surprised, what's going on? This is a funeral. Or if you go to a wedding and you are very sad and cry, and then this is... So the right answer is exactly to respond according to the tune. In this situation, as the Bible said, rejoice with those who rejoice and sad with those who sad. If I opposite, then I'm an ahwal, I have عندي خلف الله ده يبقى عكس بقى فاكر. So a right respond according to the situation. Add a father, for example, at your house, and add the husband. Sometimes you have to be very strict, sometimes you have to be very soft. I remember one time I saw a picture, I love it. You remember Khrushchev, who was the head of the Soviet Union, and it's strong, يعني وقت عبد الناصر, وكان راجل قصير كده وقرا إنما very strong. وهو he stood in front of the United States and all the West countries in a very strong time when the Soviet Union was very strong. One time they bring a picture in the newspaper in Egypt. He became like a grandfather and have like a grandson 3-4 years old, and he make like an animal and carry his grandson in his back. And you see, Khrushchev, the head of the Soviet Union, when it come to his grandson, he make himself like an animal to let his grandson very happy, and they play together. And sometimes we do so. Sometimes we do so with our children and grandchildren and so on. But not because he did so that anyone dared to touch him, you know. At that particular scene with his grandson, yes. But he is the leader of the Soviet Union. So how can I respond? Depends about the situation. And Solomon the king said, everything under heaven has particular time. He said, there is time to laugh, there is time to cry. Time to eat, time to abstain from. Like how I can respond to when the church fast, in the fast of the event. When the church fast, we should fast. In fact, today I see some people, they don't fast. They eat in the restaurant, and they don't fast. Yeah, okay. This is their own life. They choose not. But imagine if I'm a part of this community, part of this kingdom of God on earth. And the church, this is the participation. This is the sense of belonging. So I'm sure. So, and imagine when you come to the 50th day after the resurrection, this is a joyful time. And all the people break fast. We don't fast even for Wednesday and for a day. And you see some people fast during the 50 days. You see, this is strange. You are not belonging to our group. Even when some people say, Abuna, I devote 4 days or 5 days to fast during the 50 days. I said, no, it's wrong. You are not alone. You are belong to this community. Even because we break fast, we should break fast all. See the sense of belonging? So how to respond depends about the situation. To respond correctly is if it is a joyful, we see our emotion. If it is joyful, we see also our, we show our emotion. Yeah, this is to respond to your question. Any other question? Thank you.
Thank you.